morning and welcome to St. Columba's on this, the 12th Sunday after Trinity, for our service of morning prayer and holy baptism. We welcome Elijah Luke McDermott to be baptized shortly, along with his parents, godparents, and friends and wider family, as you all come alongside all of us here in St. Columba's to offer prayerful support to Elijah on this, his baptismal day. We welcome visitors who are with us. All of you are very welcome, and we follow the order of service as before you in the pew news. During these summer weeks, the canticles are said, as is indeed the psalm. Our service begins on page 101.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. But first we confess our sins to God our Father. Let us pray. In a moment of quietness, we bring before God our past failings over the past week. Ask for God's forgiveness and for his strength to amend our ways. And so we pray. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own grief fault. By what we have done and by what we have failed to do, we are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We stand. O Lord, open our lips. O God, make speed to save us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 111. On page 725, we say this psalm in alternate half verses. Alleluia, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. The works of the Lord are great. His work is full of majesty and honor. He appointed a memorial for his marvelous deeds. He gave food to those who feared him. He showed his people the power of his works. The works of his hands are truth and justice. They stand fast forever and ever.
They are done in truth and equity.
He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have those who live by it. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Our weekly extracts from the history of Israel's kings now tell of Solomon succeeding his father David to the throne. Solomon acquired a great reputation for showing God's wisdom in everything he did. The Old Testament reading is from 1 Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned for 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have asked not for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life."
We say together the first part of the Te Deum Laudamus, page 106. We praise you, O God. We acclaim you as the Lord. All creation worships you, the Father everlasting. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, the cherubim and seraphim sing in endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you, the noble fellowship of prophets praise you, the white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you, Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all praise, Holy Spirit, advocate and guide.
For several Sundays, we have been following John's extended section of Jesus' teaching about spiritual food. To those who first heard Jesus talk about his body and blood, the words made little sense, but John and the church cherish the words as the meaning of every communion. The New Testament reading is from John chapter 6, beginning at verse 51. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever."
We say together Canticle 24, the Song of Wisdom, at the bottom of page 132. Wisdom is the brightness of eternal light, the spotless mirror of God's power at work, the image of God's goodness. Wisdom is but one, yet she can do all things. Herself unchanging, she makes all things new. Age after age, she enters holy souls and makes them friends of God and prophets, beloved of God as her companions. Wisdom is more beautiful than the sun, surpassing every constellation of the stars. Her radiance is greater than the night of day, for day's light is followed by the night. Again, wisdom is evil can prevail. She reaches mightily from one end of the earth to the other, and orders all things well. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In a few moments, it's going to be a great delight and joy to baptize Elijah Luke and to welcome him into our church family here in St. Columba's. We're going to hear the parents and the godparents coming up here to the front of the church to make the promises. Promises not just for themselves, but promises on behalf of Elijah Luke. A promise we make to ourselves or to one another is one thing, but a promise made on behalf of somebody else, in front of all of us here in church and before God, is something quite different. There's a sense of seriousness about it. There's a sense of commitment about it. It marks the beginning of a journey. And all of us here are not just bystanders observing from a distance. All of us here have our own unique part in this important service of baptism. Because just after the parents make the promises about being involved in church, about bringing up their family member in church and all that goes with that, about giving their allegiance to Christ and thereby rejecting evil and all that is wrong, we have an opportunity to get actively involved. That question that I'm going to ask all of us in just a few moments is simply this. You have heard these, our brothers and sisters, respond to Christ. Will you support them in this calling? That is a very poignant part of this baptismal service. So often we think, or can think, this service has only got to do with the parents and godparents and the person being baptized. But each and every one of us has a very real and a very practical and a very important part in the response that we're going to give to that question. How easy it is for all of us to give and to show and demonstrate that support by answering that question robustly and with confidence and loudly here in church. When we're all together and the mobile phones are turned off and the diaries put to one side, and we're sitting shoulder by shoulder with our fellow parishioners, and we're all here in this beautiful building. It's very easy, isn't it, to give support in those circumstances. It's on the order of service. We will rhyme out the words, and that is easy to do. But baptism is the beginning of a journey. It's not the beginning and the ending coming together in one liturgical service. And yet I wonder, as we give that support, and we will do that, I know, with great confidence in a few moments, what about tomorrow and the day after? What about next week when we meet Elijah and meet his parents down in King Square, over in Ballyhackamore, in Belfast, or wherever? Where is the support going to be then? How good are we at giving that sense of practical encouragement on the ongoing journey? That sense of pick-me-up, that sense of encouragement, that sense of support. Where is it going to be outside of these church doors, out in the community, with the mobile phone back on, with the pressure, the diary, the comings and the goings? Where will it be then? And if we look at it in that context, where is our support one for another out there in our busyness, in our rushing? Because that is, isn't it, where our faith needs to be grounded in the reality of everyday life and work, with all the pressures, all the joys, all the sorrows, and all the thanksgivings. Where is our faith? Where is our support in those circumstances? Yesterday morning in SD Bells, it was quite good for Caroline, Charles and I to get lost in the crowd. There we were, enjoying an Ulster fry. Caroline was going for a healthier option. Charles and I were tucking in. And everybody was drifting along in their own little world, in their own little conversation. You could hear all different subjects being talked about as we were just minding our own business, having our own little conversation. All was well until one man who had come along to the cash desk to pay and said, "I've just seen two parking enforcers pull up in their mopeds outside. I hope none of you have parked your cars outside." All of a sudden, that drifting of conversation stopped. There was focus. There was a sense of something's up. I have never seen Caroline run so fast as she did at that moment, because her car was outside of SD Bells and charging out. There the parking forces were out, their mopeds parked, their little computerized devices ticking away, and Caroline came out. "Is my car all right?" she said. And I saw the guy, and I was thinking I really should be moving as well to protect one's marriage. I saw the guy pointing up to a sign, and I thought, uh-oh. And then I could see the facial expressions of Caroline and the parking enforcer lifting. What Caroline did not know was all those in the front row of SD Bells were now looking out at her. Something was happening. There was focus. And there also was support from inside as to what was going on outside. Caroline, unknown to me at this point, said, "I'd give you a hug if it wasn't for all the people at SD Bells who were now looking out at her." The parking enforcer said, "Your car is perfectly all right. There's a clear way here, but there are different times, and you're perfectly okay. It's the car behind you parked up on the curb." I know no parishioner of St. Columba's would ever, ever, ever park the car on the curb. And if you do so, don't do it at SD Bells. In she came. And everybody, almost a round of applause for Caroline, not realizing the support and the focus from inside. When there is something going on, there is focus. But what about day-to-day stuff? Where is our focus then? And where is our focus on each other? And where is our support for each other? Because why wait for the nerve-wracking moment or the time of stress to suddenly engage? What about support 24/7? We've all had the benefit of a word of encouragement, a text message, a phone call, a knock on the door, cup of coffee in ST Bells or wherever it may be, somebody coming alongside because they had time to think and to take the emphasis off themselves and to place it onto somebody. A word of encouragement, a word of support goes a long, long way, especially if in our own life at that moment in time things are hard and challenging. Jesus, so often in his ministry, was people-centered, not waiting for a crisis moment, but being there for people when help was required. And that was demonstrated in so many different ways, as we know from the gospel stories. But the New Testament reading for today is particularly significant, because as Jesus was on his way almost at the cross, he took the emphasis off himself and placed it on those disciples and gave them something that was going to sustain them, not just that day, not just on the day of the crucifixion, not just on the resurrection and Easter day, but every day thereafter. He gave them, as we know it, the Holy Communion, a living memorial to feed upon him in thick and thin, good times and bad times, to sustain, to get up, to pick oneself up and get going. And not just at that particular time and place, but whenever we gather here for Holy Communion, we come to receive the spiritual food, that living memorial. Notice Jesus didn't give them a brass plaque on a wall. He didn't give them an object. He gave them something that was real, something that was going to be required to sustain them. And not just them, but all of us as disciples of Christ today. Support 24/7, the focus on the individual. And I wonder, where are we in all of that? Because our level of support and our level of focus and our level of engagement with people can perhaps be well down where it should be, because we're focused on one's own self and one's own issues and one's own challenges. And so we come back to this baptismal service. We come back to this aspect of support, which is our part in this. And yes, we'll do it well in a few moments, but let's not reserve it for baptismal services. Let us live it out. Let us stop and think. And let us also be more regular in the receiving of the Holy Communion, that spiritual food, that living memorial, to give us what we need to do better. And I think all of us here are in that category. We need to do better at giving support and being Christ to other people. And when you're next in SD Bells, be mindful of the clearway, be mindful of where you park, and don't park on the curb. Because yesterday there was support and there was focus, but a parking ticket gave the incentive that didn't have to be issued on that occasion. We turn now to our service of Holy Baptism as we welcome Elijah Luke into our church family here in St. Columbus. Our Lord Jesus has told us that to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must be born again of water and the Spirit, and has given us baptism as the sign and seal of this new birth. Here we are washed by the Holy Spirit and made clean. Here we are clothed with Christ, dying to sin that we may live his risen life. As children of God, we have a new dignity, and God calls us to fullness of life. Holy baptism is administered to infants on the understanding that they will be brought up in the fellowship of Christ's church, that they will be taught the Christian faith and that when they publicly confess this faith, they'll be confirmed by the bishop and admitted to the Holy Communion. We welcome those who come to be baptized. I invite their sponsors to present him now.
We present Elijah Lick to be baptized.
Parents and godparents, will you accept the responsibilities placed upon you in bringing Elijah Luke for baptism and answer on his behalf? By your own prayers and example, by your teaching and love, will you encourage him in the life and faith of the Christian community? In baptism, this child begins his journey in faith. You speak for him today. Will you care for him and help him to take his place within the life and worship of Christ Church? In baptism, God calls us from darkness into his marvelous light. To follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life with him. Therefore, I ask, do you turn to Christ? Do you then renounce the devil and all his works?
I do, by God's help.
Will you obey and serve Christ?
I will, by God's help.
I invite the congregation to stand. We now come to that question that I was referring to a few moments ago. You have heard these, our brothers and sisters, respond to Christ. Will you support them in this calling?
We will support them.
We're going to ask all the younger people if they want to come along and just see the baptism for themselves taking place here. And the first thing we're going to do now is to ask God's blessing on the water we're going to use for the baptism of Elijah Luke. Praise God who made heaven and earth.
Who keeps his promise forever.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water to sustain, refresh, and cleanse all life. Over water, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through water, you led the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the Promised Land. In water, your Son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us from death of sin to newness of life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we baptize into this fellowship those who come to him in faith. Now sanctify this water, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Elijah Luke may be cleansed from sin and born again. Renewed in your image, may he walk by the light of faith and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Parents and godparents, do you believe and accept the Christian faith into which Elijah Luke is to be baptized?
I do.
Brothers and sisters, I asked you to profess together with this candidate the faith of the Church. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe and trust in God the Son?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Name this child.
Elijah Luke.
Elijah Luke, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ claims you for his own. Receive the sign of the cross. Live as a disciple of Christ. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Confess Christ crucified. Proclaim his resurrection. Look for his coming in glory. May Almighty God deliver you from the powers of darkness, restore in you the image of his glory, and lead you in the light and obedience of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We're now going to, having given good support, we're now going to give a warm welcome to Elijah as we welcome him into our church. God has called you into his church. We therefore receive and welcome you as a member with us of the body of Christ, as a child of the one heavenly Father, and as an inheritor of the kingdom of God. Elijah is independent. Yes? Now. You're doing very well. Yes? You're going at a great rate, Elijah. Now. See down here? Look. A new young independent member who knows his own mind. Isn't that right? Well done. A man of confidence. And now that we have welcomed Elijah Luke, we're now going to pray for him. I'm praying for him with the support we're all going to give him from this point forward. Father, we thank you that Elijah Luke has now been born again of water and the Holy Spirit, and has become your own child by adoption, a member of your church. Grant that he may grow in the faith in which he is being baptized. Grant that he himself may confess it when he comes to be confirmed. Grant that he may bear witness to it by a life of service to others, and that all things belonging to the Spirit may live and grow in him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now a prayer for his home and his family. Almighty God, bless the home of Elijah Luke and give such grace and wisdom to all who have the care of him, that by their word and good example, they may teach him to know and love you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as family, we join together in saying the family prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We return back to our pews, and Elizabeth Leonard is going to lead us in our prayers. Let us pray.
Let us pray. Today we pray for everyone in our parish. We give thanks for the dedication and work of our rector John and assistant priests Ken and Walter. We welcome Elijah into our parish family and look forward to watching him develop and grow, and we pray that he will enjoy the activities and life in our church. As we approach the end of the school holidays, we pray for all those facing a transition in their lives. Lord, be with all children starting school for the first time, and all those who move school and meet new teachers and make new friends. Give wisdom to those choosing careers following examination results, and protect and guide all who are moving on to further education and perhaps employment for the first time. Support and strengthen all families at this time of change. In our diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for Willowfield Church as they prepare for the 12th Bishop's Bible Week, which commences on the 28th of August and lasts for 4 evenings. Lord of all compassion, we pray for all who have died or have been injured following the collapse of the Genoa Bridge in Italy. We also remember in our prayers all who have lost their lives in the recent floods in southern India. We pray for those who have lost life and those working to save life, and for those who will no longer see their loved ones. We continue to remember and reflect on all those known to us in our own parish who have lost loved ones in recent weeks. We especially pray for Anella following the death of her mother, and Mark on the death of his uncle. Almighty God, who has given us grace at this time, with one accord to make our common supplications unto thee, and dost promise that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting.
Amen.
Amen. Let us all join in saying the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Thank you.
greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you.
Let us pray. The Collect of the 12th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, save through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Unto God's most gracious care and protection we commit you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace this day and forevermore.
Love and serve the Lord.